Today, housing affordability sucks. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, with the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Demographia have released their 16th annual survey of comparable housing affordability using their average price and average income data across more than 300 locations. Their methodology is quite specific and allows comparisons to be made across multiple centres and over time. Any centre scoring above 5 is judged as severely unaffordable. I have to say I'm getting pretty tired of some who dismiss their approach as distorting the true picture on the basis that averages mask. True, I am cautious of averages generally, but it is consistently applied in my book and so makes an important contribution to understanding the real relative affordability across many countries, including Australia and New Zealand, and the news is not good at all. They also run two sets of results. The first is more major centres and the other is the full set of all the results. Across the major housing markets, they conclude that all 5 in Australia are severely unaffordable again, as is Auckland in New Zealand. The least affordable areas include Hong Kong at 20.8, Vancouver at 11.9, Sydney at 11, Melbourne at 9.5, the Bay of Plenty in New Zealand at 9.3, LA at 9, Toronto in Canada at 8.6, and Auckland also at 8.6. On the other hand, in all markets, 22 out of 23 are unaffordable in Australia, and all of New Zealand's markets are unaffordable. And they also show the deterioration in affordability is significant in every market, but with New Zealand and Australia leading the way, with price-to-income ratios becoming more adverse, thanks to issues of land supply, which is their particular thematic, and over-generous lending, which is DFA's thesis, for the underlying reasons. Looking at Australia, the least affordable regions are Sydney, Melbourne, the Sunshine Coast, the Gold Coast, Geelong, Hobart, Adelaide, Fraser Coast in Queensland, and Canberra, followed by Brisbane, Perth, Ballarat, and Cairns. They are all above the 5.0 affordability benchmark. Frankly, this represents the bulk of the populated areas in the country, and it screams to me, poor policy. And the trends are only improving a little thanks to price falls last year, but the recent reversals in some areas will just make things worse again. Demographia said of Australia, Australia's generally unfavourable housing affordability is in significant contrast to the broad affordability that existed before the implementation of urban containment, called urban consolidation in Australia. The price-to-income ratio in Australia was below 3.0 three decades ago, again, as in each of the previous 15 Demographia International Housing Affordability Surveys, all of Australia's 5 major housing markets are severely unaffordable. Even so, housing remains severely unaffordable in all of the major markets and by a substantial margin in Sydney and Melbourne. Despite what has been called the largest Sydney price reduction in 35 years, house prices relative to incomes are more than double the rate of the early 1980s. In Sydney and Melbourne, median income households need at least 3 years more income to pay for the median price house than back in 2004, when the first survey was published. The OECD expressed the following assessment of the housing market in Australia back in December 2018. Quote, Australia's housing market is a source of vulnerability. Prices have more than doubled in real terms since the early 2000s, and housing debt has surged. The market has started to cool over the last year, with prices falling most notably in Melbourne and Sydney. So far, data points to a soft landing without substantial consequence for the overall economy. Nevertheless, risk of a hard landing remains. Sydney is again Australia's least affordable market, with a median multiple of 11, and ranks third least overall, trailing Hong Kong and Vancouver. Melbourne has a median multiple of 9.5 and is the fourth least affordable major housing market internationally. Only Hong Kong, Vancouver and Sydney are less affordable than Melbourne. Adelaide has a severely unaffordable 6.9 median multiple and is the 14th least affordable of the 92. Brisbane has a median multiple of 6.3 and is ranked 17th least affordable, while Perth, with a median multiple of 6, is the 19th least affordable major housing market in this year's Demographia survey. Overall, Australia's housing market has a severely unaffordable median multiple of 5.9, and there is only one affordable market, which is Gladstone in Queensland, with a median multiple of 2.8. Overall, 14 markets in Australia are rated severely unaffordable. The least affordable are the Sunshine Coast in Queensland at 8.4 and the Gold Coast in Queensland at 8. Australia's high house prices have increased the cost and demand for subsidised housing. The Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute estimates that current housing need in Australia to be 1.3 million households and is expected the need to worsen. And a parliamentary briefing book found that the stock of social housing is not increasing at a sufficient rate to keep up with demand, and waiting lists for social housing remains long. In New Zealand, all markets, including Auckland, Christchurch and Wellington, are unaffordable. The trends are also showing that affordability remains a strategic issue. Demographia said, in New Zealand, as in Australia, housing had been affordable until approximately a quarter of a century ago. However, urban containment policies were adopted across the country, and consistent with the international experience, housing became severely unaffordable in all three of New Zealand's largest housing markets, Auckland, Christchurch and Wellington. New Zealand's price-to-income ratio was below 3.0 in the early 1990s, and recent New Zealand median multiple trends have been influenced by government reinstatement of median income data. Auckland, New Zealand's only major housing market, has a severely unaffordable 8.6 median multiple. This is an improvement from 9 back in 2018. Even so, Auckland's housing affordability has deteriorated from a median multiple of 5.9 in the first survey, thus adding nearly 3 years in pre-tax median household income to the house prices. Auckland is the sixth least affordable among the 92 major housing markets and has been severely unaffordable in all 16 Demographia International Housing Affordability Surveys. New Zealand's second and third largest markets have experienced significantly different housing trends over the last decade. Second largest, Christchurch, has a median multiple of 5.4, which is an improvement of 0.7 points from the sixth annual survey. The third largest is Wellington, and that has a median multiple of 6.8, a deterioration of 1.2 points over the past decade. New Zealand's middle-income housing crisis has strained government's low-income housing budgets. Emergency aid has increased to accommodate some low-income households in motels, and waiting lists have been growing. Housing affordability remains an issue of considerable public concern in New Zealand. The latest IPSOS New Zealand Issues Monitor from November 2019, with 62% respondents believing that they cannot afford to purchase a house in their own market. Housing affordability has been a principal issue from the time of the lead-up to the 2008 election and the Parliament's 2007-08 Commerce Committee Housing Affordability Inquiry. National's then housing spokesman and later minister, Phil Heatley, toured the United States and the United Kingdom prior to the election to study housing. The Labour Party-led coalition government's urban growth agenda calls for intensified residential development, both greenfield and infill. This includes the abolishment of the Auckland urban containment boundary. The government is also proceeding with plans to reform infrastructure finance to rely on debt to be serviced by residents of new developments rather than public expenditures. During the December 1st reading of the Infrastructure Funding and Financing Bill, Urban Development Minister Twyford acknowledged the broad political support for the bill. Just prior to this, the Urban Development Bill was introduced in Parliament. Twyford addressed the Government Economics Network conference in December, reiterating the government's commitment to improving housing affordability. Quote, "The argument I want to make to you is that generations of urban land use policy have lacked a decent grounding in economics. The consequences of that has been disastrous. And if we want to turn it around, it's going to take bold reform and policies informed by an understanding of urban spatial economics." And that leads to the final point that they want to make, which is that the price is directly linked to the control of land supply. Markets like Australia and New Zealand, where land releases are controlled and rationed, help to explain the rising prices and falling affordability. And this, of course, despite falling interest rates at the moment. So this is one right royal mess, and the social and economic consequences will resonate down the years. In short, housing affordability sucks. And finally, before I go, let me just remind you that tomorrow, Tuesday at 8 p.m. Sydney time, I'll be running my next live stream event. You can ask me a question live on the stream, or send me one beforehand via the DFA blog. The links are in the comments below. So mark your diaries, and I look forward to seeing you on the show tomorrow. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.